everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. This is part two of today's show. It's all about food. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you will share this program because what we just spoke about with Drs. Dean and Ayesha Sherzai is so important. Did you know that you could practically eliminate the risk of Alzheimer's and dementia? Did you know that? By 90%, this is groundbreaking. And the solution, well, the solution is what we've been talking about for 9 years on this program. A whole minimally processed plant, delicious diet. We've talked about how it helps heart disease, how it helps diabetes, how it helps cancer, multiple sclerosis, autoimmune diseases, and now our brains. This is so exciting, and I'm thrilled to be able to talk to the authors. I just wanted to add a few more things about the book. So there's a number of myths that they talk about in the book. One of them is about coconut oil, and guess what, everybody? Coconut oil is not healthy for the brain. Coconut oil is a saturated fat, and it increases LDL, bad cholesterol. And that's related to vascular health. The best kinds of fats, we need fats. The best kind, what are they, everybody? Whole, minimally processed fats, mono and poly unsaturated fats from nuts, seeds, avocado, olives, plants, which have been scientifically proven to protect against cognitive decline in numerous studies. And that's what they say here in this book. I love coconut oil on my skin. I also like it on my hair. I'll admit I occasionally use some coconut milk or coconut oil in a treat. And something we didn't talk about in the last half hour was moderation. And they talk about moderation in the book. And it's a very intelligent thing because some people say, oh, moderation. But what does moderation mean to you? They gave an example that, you know, if you're eating pizza 5 times a week and then you eat it like 2 or 3 times, is that moderation? So foods that are not promoting good health, you can have them occasionally, just not all the time. If indeed you don't want to lose your mind. And who does? I don't. Okay, I have had an incredible, incredible week. And I'm going to share some stories with you because they're related to food and health, of course. I'm fortunate to have my parents. My mom's 84, my dad's 89. I've talked about them from time to time on this program. And my dad's having a few challenges these days, and I was taking him around to doctors, various doctors' appointments, and I just happened to decide I would visit them on, what day is it already? Thursday. It's been such a whirlwind. I thought I would help them do some shopping and fix some things in their home and just spend some nice quiet time. Well, we got a call from one of his doctors that he was anemic and needed to go to the emergency room. So we spent this holiday weekend in the hospital. And like I said in the first part of this show, I was reading this book, The Alzheimer's Solution. And it was so ironic to be in this place where there's only sick care. And I'm reading The Alzheimer's Solution, talking about all of the evidence and research about a healthy lifestyle that includes a whole minimally processed plant-based diet, exercise, meditation, seeing how it applies to brain health, but it also applies to the heart and our entire well-being. So I had conversations. One doctor, the doctor that was presiding over my dad on yesterday. She noticed I had this book on the chair and she said, why are you reading that? And I explained I had this radio show and I said, do you know that 90% of Alzheimer's disease can be reduced? The risk can be reduced by 90% with a healthy diet. And I mentioned that this community of Seventh-day Adventists who are vegetarian, there's a lot of data with them and showing how they have extended longevity, quality of life, and less cognitive decline. And she lit up and said, oh, that's wonderful. I'm a vegetarian. And then I added that it's even better if you eliminate dairy products. And then she said, but we need milk for protein. And I just took a deep breath and smiled. We need milk for protein. Where do people learn this? Not medical school. It's a cultural thing, right? And I told her, no, we don't need milk. We can get protein from beans and grains. And then she said, oh, no, 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 no. Greens, you'd have to eat a lot of greens. And then I said, yes, you have to eat a lot of greens. And that's what's so wonderful about it. You get all of this fiber. You feel full. I was looking at her and thinking that she could actually lose a few pounds. And eating greens would be beneficial because it would help her do that. But there's so much that our doctors, well-meaning doctors who want to help, who want to make a difference, just don't know because the system is broken. And then I spoke to one of the guys who was preparing my dad's room. He was going to move from the ER to a room, and he was with the environmental services group. And he complimented me on my shoes. And I told him, thank you. You know what's great about these shoes? They're not made of leather. They're vegan. They're cruelty free. And he said, I've been trying to go vegan and it's kind of hard. It's tricky, you know, but I'm working on it. And I showed him this book, The Alzheimer's Solution, and gave him my responsible eating and living card and said, email me anytime. I can help. And so I was trying to make the most of a difficult situation and seeing so many things that were just wrong. And how many times did I want to just stand up and scream and shake them and say, no, 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 this isn't how to heal. No, you don't understand. I have to share, of course, the food that was served. My dad got a cheeseburger, a beef burger with cheese. It said it had a whole wheat bun. Like, that was a good thing. It looked like a fluffy piece of bread. There was always skim milk served on the tray and a dessert with like cake and whipped cream. Then he had a roasted chicken at night. It had vegetables. I give them credit. It had a small piece of corn and some green beans. But the main thing on the plate was the animal. And they're serving this to people who have heart disease, people who have cancers. I saw them there, people who had diabetes. And there's this disconnect. Or, now, the Dr. Sherzai told me there isn't a conspiracy, but I'm thinking, feed them these foods and your customers will keep coming back. They'll keep coming back to the hospital. It's very, very frustrating. What are we going to do, folks? How are we going to turn this around so that we can help more people? Do you have any ideas? I mean, I'm doing this. I'm talking to you. I'm giving you information. I hope you're sharing it with other people. This world could be a so much better place. And the thing that I think would really be one of the greatest things that would come out of everybody improving their lifestyle, eating better, reducing risk of disease, then our medical community could focus their time and research on the really mysterious diseases that plague us today. Rather than focusing on research money and time on heart disease and diabetes and cancer and Alzheimer's, we know what the cause is. We know how to prevent these diseases with a whole minimally processed plant diet and healthy lifestyle, exercise, meditation. We could take all that time and money and put it to the real mysteries. Wouldn't that be nice? I think so. All right. So, continuing on about this week, I had to eat. and I had to sleep. And it was really challenging. For those of you who are caregivers, you must know what I'm talking about, how challenging it is. But there were some moments that were real highlights. So my mom and I had a moment to get away from the hospital, and we happened upon a Japanese restaurant. Now, this was in Plainview, New York, on Long Island, if any of you are around there. We went to a little Japanese place called Hama Sushi, and I ordered the vegetable sushi. And this was a stunning, fabulous delight. It was just a moment where I could nourish myself and re-energize. And the most exciting part was most sushi, and sushi means rice. Most sushi is made with white rice. And some of the newer sushi places are getting hip. They know people want to eat whole grains. They'll offer their sushi with brown rice. This place not only had brown rice, they had black rice. And black rice is like amazing. So I had this fantastic plate with black rice. I had an opportunity to visit Plantwise, another place on Long Island. And I've been trying to get there for about, well, since they opened. Actually, they were called Plant Strong when they opened. Now they're called Plantwise. I have a feeling it's because Rip Esselstyn has trademarked Plant Strong. I could be wrong, but that's my theory. And they had to change it to Plantwise. I brought my parents there, and it was very challenging because they really couldn't relate to the menu. And I was trying to translate what was available and what I thought would be pleasant for their palates. And I realized at that moment that that's actually part of the challenge of helping people transition. A lot of people they don't want to change. They like things that are familiar. The authors of The Alzheimer's Solution, they talk about it in the book, that when they're helping people transition, they try and make it simple, make simple substitutions. And at this restaurant, there were bowls where they had raw spinach, brown rice or quinoa, and then some sort of main attraction like garbanzo beans in a spicy sauce or something else. And a lot of these herbs and spices my parents aren't familiar with and don't like. And I imagine that's true of a lot of people that are trying new foods, and they'll go to one of these healthy restaurants really with great intention and try something, and the tongue doesn't know what to do with all of those flavors. It sometimes takes time to recalibrate or to introduce new flavors so that the tongue can understand them and recognize them and then decide whether it likes it or not. And I have a funny story. I even had a confusing moment with tongue and taste while I was sitting there. I ordered a smoothie that was called Dream Date. I thought if my parents didn't like what I ordered them, they would definitely enjoy the smoothie. It was a blended smoothie with bananas, almond butter, and dates. Something sweet, creamy, a little bit of fat. Who wouldn't like it? And I got little cups, and I poured us each some of it so we could sample it. And yes, the Mr. Softy truck is passing by again. Okay, the song is over. Wouldn't you miss hearing the Mr. Softy theme music during this show? I wouldn't. Okay, so I was finishing up my dish, and I saw a little cup behind my plate that I thought was the Dream Date, the smoothie. And I sipped it, and my tongue was so confused. What is this? It's tart. It's salty. It's wrong. And I just didn't know how to comprehend it for a few seconds. Turns out it was tahini dressing that I was supposed to add to the top of my bowl. And I love tahini dressing. But when you're expecting something that doesn't taste like tahini, and it can be very shocking and disappointing. So I could relate to people who are trying new foods and they don't even have an idea of what those foods are supposed to taste like. So when you take that bite, you don't know what to tell your tongue to anticipate. That's one of the challenges in eating new foods. Okay. I found one dish that really had no spices in it. It had a tomato coconut sauce over garbanzo beans and tomatoes, served over brown rice. I thought my dad would like it, and he did. That was good. The wonderful thing about this restaurant is the portions are large. We each took half of ours, and I got to take all of the leftovers home with me, and I made new dishes with all of them. And you could read about them on my blog, What Vegans Eat. Another thing, I'm learning so much in this short time, just being a caregiver. I don't know that I have the solutions, but I always know that if I can make the food for someone, make it healthy, make it delicious, they will eat it. They will like it. They will want it. But so many people don't have the motivation to cook. They don't know what to cook. And they just fall back on old habits. I try to do the best I can right here at Responsible Eating and Living headquarters through this program and through my blog and recipes to offer solutions. And that's really the most that I can do short of going to your house and cooking for you. But I know that while I was with my parents, my mom used to cook a lot. She just doesn't anymore. They're both getting more fatigued, and it's challenging for them. So when I was cooking, my dad came in and said, something smells good. And I could feed them healthy food while I was there. Something so simple as just steaming yellow potatoes, carrots, and onions. Anybody can do that. And you serve that with a salad, and you have a nice meal. It's not complicated. Right. I wanted to go back a little bit again to this book, The Alzheimer's Solution, because there's so much in it that we didn't get to cover. And I just want to highlight some things so that you may want to actually pick up the book and read it and share it with those who need it. And there's that lovely song again. They talked about supplements, and a lot of people spend a lot of money on supplements. And there's a lot of marketing. Sometimes you may get an email or see something on social media advertising the amazing effects of some supplement or some combination of nutraceuticals and supplements that are beneficial for the brain. And what they said in this book is that for most of them, there's no real research to prove the claims that are being made. They did recommend a number of supplements that we recommend often on this program. I mentioned it a few times recently on this program. Omega-3 fatty acids, which you can get in certain foods like flax seeds and hemp seeds, but also, especially as we age, to supplement with an algae-based DHA EPA. I have a little article about Dr. Furman's brand of DHA EPA at responsibleeatingandliving.com. You might want to just read it. It's quick. But the doctor shares, I also recommend that in their book. As we age, it gets more difficult for many people to take what we get from the flax seeds, the hemp seeds, the walnuts, the beneficial omega-3s, and convert them to the things we need, DHA and EPA. And that's why the supplementation is important. Yeah. Okay, we just have a few minutes left. And, oh my goodness, I am running on adrenaline. I know we need to practice what we preach, and I really try to eat well and sleep well, but I have gotten very little sleep for the last few days. And sleep is also a key solution in the package of Alzheimer's solution. And they actually give a list of recommendations on how to ensure better sleep in the book. Mm-hmm. Yep. They also talk about, I was at another doctor's office today, and I was mentioning this book, and then the physician's assistant, who was doing a number of tests on my dad and filling out forms, she heard what I said, and then she said, "Are you a vegan?" And I said, "Yes, I'm a vegan." And then she said, "I could never be vegan." And it's funny. No, number one, this book doesn't tell you that you have to be vegan. And I can't tell you to be vegan. I would like the world to be vegan. That's my personal thing, because I don't believe in killing animals, but I can't tell you to be vegan. And I can't tell you that we even know for sure that eating a 100% plant-based diet is the healthiest. We don't know that. What we do know is eating a diet that is primarily plant, mostly plant, whole foods, no processed foods, that is what we thrive on. And so I shared that with this woman today in the doctor's office. But it just amuses me, because I know a lot of vegans who have told me at some point that they could never be vegan. And if you're thinking I could never be vegan, okay, that's fine. But if you're curious, I'm happy to help you. And you're free to reach me at info@realmeals.org. I love to get questions where people ask, how can I do this when it comes to food? And if we could come up with a solution, that would make me happy and make you happy. So you're free to do that. Oh, one more thing before we end. I think it's really important. They talked about it in the book, and I'm talking about it now. Having conversations with people, strangers, all the time, reaching out just about anything at all. It doesn't even have to be about health, but we need to connect with each other. We're all on our phones. We're all on our screens, and having community is healthy. I was in another doctor's office this week, and we were waiting for my dad to be called. My mom was a little anxious, and she was cold because the air conditioning was so cold. I had just finished interviewing one of the senior researchers for the book Project Drawdown, and we'll be airing that in a few weeks. It was really an exciting interview, and I can't wait to share it. But one of the things we learned in Project Drawdown, which has to do with climate change, is the top 80 solutions to turn around global warming. The number one solution is refrigeration management. So we're sitting there freezing. And I said, do you know what the number one solution is for turning around global warming? It's refrigeration management. And there was a woman who was sitting there, and she got engaged in the conversation. And then I talked about some of the other solutions, and one of them was plant-based diets. And we started a conversation. And I gave her my card, and we're continuing that conversation. And I hope that the information that I share with her will be helpful. Talk to people in supermarkets, in medical facilities, anywhere you can. You know, we're all living on this planet together. We all share this planet Earth. We all want the same things. A healthy life, good food, love, friends, family, right? Thank you so much for joining me today. I think it was really a wonderful program. I'm so glad to have presented the Alzheimer's solution to you today. I'm Karen Hartglass. Have a very delicious week.